So today we're doing Matthew 23:1-12. Then Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples. The scribes and the Pharisees are seated in the chair of Moses. Therefore, do whatever they tell you and observe it. But don't do what they do, because they don't practice what they teach. They tie up heavy loads that are hard to carry and put them on people's shoulders, but they themselves aren't willing to lift a finger to move them. They do everything to be observed by others. They enlarge their phylacteries and lengthen their tassels. They love the place of honor at banquets and front seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplaces, and be called rabbi by people. But as for you, do not be called rabbi, because you have one teacher, and you are all brothers. Do not call anyone on earth your father, because you have one father who is in heaven. And do not be called masters either, because you have one master, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be a servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Help me to explain it, and just guide us to understand it, and help us to live it out. In Jesus' name, amen. So, the background to this is kind of simple. The scribes and Pharisees have been questioning Jesus. They're asking him all kinds of questions. And they don't want to know answers.
No, they want to,
catch him and saying something that will get him in trouble. This is followed right on when they said, should we pay taxes to Caesar? And he said, well, what does the coin look like? It's got Caesar on it. We'll give Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give God what belongs to God. And in a way, there's this little nuance, because you could not pay the temple tax with Roman currency that has Caesar on it. You had to pay it with Hebrew currency that was, according to the Romans, totally worthless. You couldn't do anything with it except give it to, because it had scripture written on it.
Yeah.
Okay, so they've given God what is God's and given Caesar what is Caesar's. Well, now what are you going to do with this stuff that was just given to the temple and it's worthless? No good money. Well, what they did was, how are you going to do it if all the money you ever get is Roman money? So what they did was they took the money and they gave it to money changers. And they said, here, I'm going to give you this and it's worth X amount, and you give me, like, you know, 80% of what it's actually worth.
It's more than that.
And now I've got money that I can spend on something, and you have money that you can sell to other people at an exorbitant rate. So it was a weasel deal, and that's why he had run the people out of the temple, because they were doing this. They were actually running a crooked enterprise right in the temple. So they wanted to find something wrong with his teaching, but they had limited success, because every time they asked him a question, he answered it in a way that made them look worse.
Yeah.
Who gave you authority to do this? Well, then you just tell me. John's baptism, was it from heaven or was it from earth? And they say to each other, well, if I say it was from heaven, the Romans will come after me. And if I say it's from earth, the people will come after me. And so they said, we don't know. He said, well, then I'm not going to tell you where I get my authority either, because obviously you can't understand it. So he had them confounded. So then he told them, basically, and in the King James Version, it literally has the quote, they do not practice what they preach. That's where we got it from. And so, what were they saying? Well, the priests were tasked in the Bible to teach the law. They were to teach all the people what the law of God was. kid gets born, he's a little kid, he doesn't know anything, and so parents, of course, will be teaching him things at home, but then he gets taught by the priests and the scribes, and he learns, right? The scribes, the reason the scribes were so involved in this was because you had to be licensed. You had to write the Word of God. You cannot print it. Well, it wasn't even printing back then, but you had to write it out, and you had to be licensed to do it, so you did not get it wrong. That's why we have never had big controversies over anything written in the Old Testament, after saying it's not really what they said. We've never found anything added. We've never found anything taken away. We've never anything. It's always exactly, in the original languages, it's exactly what was written. And that's what they were teaching. And they were making sure when you got to the Hebrew school, that's when you were learning. And they were checking you to make sure that you're, you know. And of course, you can't vote and you can't do anything until you're 30. Because, boy, that would drive kids today nuts. But that you had to be an adult. An adult is 30. And so you had all this, and they would break them over the coals to make sure they knew this stuff cold. That was their job. Moses had given the law, therefore they were in Moses' seat. They're saying they're seated where Moses was, because Moses was the one who gave the law, therefore they're the ones teaching the law, so they're in his seat, teaching what he gave as the law. And their doctrine was based on the law. So they played fast and loose with it, was the big problem. And even when they taught the doctrine correctly, they didn't follow it. So, that's what they said. So what did they do? Well, first of all, they added requirements. It's kind of like Supreme Court interpretations. What is the law in the United States? Well, it's whatever the Supreme Court says. And the Supreme Court is generally very long-winded. So, can we help you?
No, I mentioned last week.
Okay.
Thursday I was out passing out food.
So, they added requirements. They said at one point they had 608 commandments that you had to be sure to follow.
Oh, okay. But there was a lady that used to come here and night theater over there and stuff.
Yep, you were here last week.
Yeah.
You were here last week.
Yeah, she's not. Are you looking for Vicky? She's not here today.
Oh, she's not here today?
No.
Yeah, you told me she's not doing too well.
Yeah, she has a problem with depression.
Okay.
And she has this little pup that she got that's making her feel better, but she doesn't always show up places. She just gets in a bad place and doesn't make it.
Can we help you with something?
No, I was seeing she was here.
She's my sister.
Oh, she really? Yeah. Okay, tell us about this. I was out on Thursday, and my church gave me a big ham. And so I cooked it up. My sister cooked it up. And we made sandwiches. So I came out on Thursday and handed it up.
Oh, that was nice. Vicky's very fond of ham.
Oh, that's too bad. I had all these ham sandwiches and stuff.
She loves ham. She loves ham.
Okay.
I think that's her favorite meat.
Well, if you'd like to give stuff out, one place you can do it is right here at about noon on Monday. Well, that's when they have their feed.
Well, they already give out food.
I know.
But I come out after church, because my church, we have a food bank on Wednesdays. And so I get boxes of food and stuff. I throw in the freezer, strawberries, different things. So I come out after church and I hand out food. I used to come here and on this area, and there was no other feedings, you know, there was nothing.
Yeah.
And so, and then they kind of started feeding and stuff. So,
yeah.
I don't tip eat. I don't, you know, I just people want to hear about the Lord.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell them about them. They want prayer. I'll pray for them.
Yeah.
So, that's good. That's awesome. That's all about.
Yeah, we keep inviting them to sit and eat. And we're hoping that they'll pick up some of what he's reading or he's preaching. But
yep.
We don't. tell them they have to, you know. You feed them no matter what.
Is your sister Cindy, is she working at all, or is she...
Vicky?
Is she working at all?
No, not right now.
Oh, okay. Well, I remember when she had... She told me somebody hit her. I don't want to interrupt you.
Yeah, she's had surgery on her eye. And
she was looking a lot better and everything.
Yeah.
So there was a... Thursday, there was a men's... Mexico and men's soccer game, and I wanted to take her to it. Just to go watch it, go to grab a fight or something and talk. But
Well, she has a four-legged child now that has to go everywhere with her.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay, yeah, you can't really take those to, you know,
Applebee's. Once in a while, her daughter will babysit for her, but for the most part, the dog is with her 24/7.
She has a backpack she can put him in, but he's starting to
Yeah, he's going to be a pretty big chihuahua.
Yeah.
Pretty big.
Well, my name is Scott, so just...
Okay.
Just tell her Scott says hi.
Okay.
Look for another time.
All right. I'll have to tell her that it's, who you are, because my husband's name is Scott, too, and he passed away, and if I tell her Scott says hi, she's going to look at me like,
really? So when did you talk to him?
But when's the last time you talked to Scott?
That's funny.
Thanks for stopping by.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Okay.
I'll let her know.
Okay, thank you.
So they added these requirements. They were all kinds of things about how you had to do things and what you had to do and all this. And then they showed off. They had things that they were required to wear. And they would always get really big ones, and they would have what they call phylacteries. Phylacteries were little bags that you could tie on your wrist or on your forehead, and it had scripture inside of it. And it came from a kind of a misinterpretation of where Moses had said about various scriptures, you know, keep this on your forehead and on your wrist. And what he meant by it was, keep thinking about it. Keep it in your forehead. That's where it's your thinking. Yeah, it's always before you. It's on your wrist. That's where you're looking to see if you've got... But they would literally take it very literally and put these little bags with phylacteries. We have a thing called a mezuzah that we put out of our bedroom. And it's just a little thing where you go into a house, and Jews will never go into a house or out of a house that has a mezuzah without touching it, because inside of it is a scripture. So we don't do that, but it's always interesting because they have you tip it. You don't put it straight up and down, you tip it, because they always say, we can't keep it exactly. So we tip it just a little. But they had long tassels. They have a thing that you had to have a thing that went around your waist, and it had tassels that stuck out. And at the four corners, right at your front of your legs and at the back of your butt, the four corners, there was a long blue tassel. So they would put a really long one so everybody could see it. Extra long. Oh, aren't these guys so religious because they got these long tassels? And they would always make sure that at the exact time they were supposed to pray, that, oh, I got caught right on the street corner. So now I have to sit here and pray in front of everybody. Oh, my. Well, they're doing it on purpose. Nobody says, oh, look what a great, religious person is, and so on. It was all for show. And they loved titles. They wanted to be called rabbi. Rabbi means teacher. So they wanted to be called rabbi because they were the teachers. And, of course, that is the truth. They were the teachers. But if they were really good at it, they'd get called master and father and all these things. And we now have a lot of people who will tell you that the Catholics are automatically evil because their priests are called father. And it says, don't call anybody father on earth. Well, actually, you see throughout the Bible where it says to call God, Abba, which is not father, it's like daddy. And that's the idea. You want to build that up. And so my dad, he was my father. That's a physical thing. But he was my dad because he's where I learned most of what I know about the Bible. And what the rest of it I learned from having had it embedded in me to want to read and study the Bible. And that's why I came to know these things. And one of the big things that hit me about all this stuff, we had a church that, we had been in this church, and the guy who was the pastor there left, and the new guys who came when we visited there, if you didn't refer to them as pastor, they would jump down your throat. They are pastor, and they will have that title, and it kind of poisoned me, where I didn't want people to call me pastor, because I didn't want anybody to think they had to.
Yeah.
And I had to learn that people refer to me as Pastor Walt.
Out of respect.
Because they love me. They say, you know, we respect you. We love you. We bring you our problems and you give us answers. And I'm saying, I don't give you answers. God gives me the answers, because when you ask me the question, I'm terrified. Do I know what to say? But, you know, it's just, that's the way it is. But I don't set great store by titles. I love being a pastor. I found that. I've told Pat, this is the job I wanted all my life.
Yeah.
But being called that is not as important. It's just the service of doing it.
Yeah.
So how do we react to these two things? First of all, we don't want to follow hypocritical practices. If somebody tells you this is the way it ought to be and they don't act that way, then we tend to blow them off. We have people like Jimmy Swaggart and so on like that who got into it. Now, I don't know. We had a pastor in the church that we were in who was caught having sex with one of the girls who had been in his young, when he was a youth pastor, she'd been one of his youth. But at any rate, people just rejected him. He went on to become a pastor somewhere else. The thing was, he couldn't be pastor there anymore. And they let him know that. We want to love you and be with you, but you can't be our pastor anymore. You have poisoned it. But, it was a hypocritical thing. Now people can turn from that and they can go to God and they can ask forgiveness and they can get squared away. But they may not always be able to get squared away with people, because people hang on to things. So we need to be very careful at not being hypocritical. If we say that this is the way God says it's supposed to be, we need to be like that. We need to reject titles. And like I say, with that is the idea of saying, it's not that I reject the title. It's not that Pat should reject the title of prayer coordinator for OCC. It's the fact that she doesn't grab it and hold it, and this is such a big thing to her. This is a service for Pat. She's the prayer coordinator.
It's not more important than being a child of God.
Right. She does this as a service to people and as a service to OCC, because they always say that the best thing you can put in a shoebox is prayer. And so that's what we do, right? But we don't want to possess titles, you might say. We need to be brothers and sisters. Everybody is on an equal footing. And like I say, when I was watching The Chosen, that's one of the things that we see. Everybody's on an equal footing. They know Jesus is the Son of God. They know He's the Messiah. But He's not lording it over them. Right? They listen to Him because they say, you have the words of God. We know what you tell us is the truth, and you have shown us that you're not hypocritical about it, and you're not doing the wrong thing. He says the greatest is a servant. The greatest among you will be the servant, the person who serves the most. I like to talk about a lady that we knew in Victorville, California. She was going to die next month for like 10 years. And eventually, she just said, okay, the Lord said it's time to come home. And she did. But she never whined. She never complained. She served by being sick and showing what a Christian acts like when they're in a bad situation. She served people. We knew people that you never hear from them in church. You'd never hear anything like this. But if you went to them and said, I need prayer, you could feel it. Literally, you would go to something and you would say, I have this thing that I have to go to and I'm scared. You would feel the prayers as she prayed for you. That was the purpose of the greatest among you. It said that the exalted will be humbled and the humbled will be exalted. The thing that Jesus said was, if you go to a banquet, set at the lowest level. Because then they can come and say, oh, you're too far down, you need to move up. And you're exalted because you were humble. If you sit at the very top, someone may come and say, there's someone who's ahead of you, you need to move down. And now you've been humble because you exalted yourself. That's the way it works. We humble ourselves with other people. We help each other. We think more about each other than we do about ourselves. So what does this mean to all of us? Well, first of all, we teach each other. I learn from people that I'm helping. I have seen people that have been in bad shape, that needed counseling and needed help. And yet, as I watched them go through it, I learned. My friend, Bud Gilbert, he didn't anymore have PTSD, but he was still suffering the after effects of some pretty rough military stuff. And he's the one who taught me that when somebody's in a hole, it's PTSD, he was in a hole, they can't get out. Until somebody jumps in a hole and says, I've been in a hole just like this, let me show you how to get out. And as soon as you get out, you turn to them and you say, go find somebody else's hole and jump in. And that's the way it works. I learned that from Bud. So we learn, we teach each other. Those who are more mature lead, but they don't lower it over. That's the whole thing. Is there are people that we instinctively know, these people know more than I do about them. People go to Pat because she knows stuff. She knows lady stuff that I wouldn't be comfortable with. But they go to Pat because she's a mature Christian and she can help you. But she doesn't lord it over people. She doesn't want titles. She doesn't want to be, you know, I'm such a much. Titles come from love, not from seeking. If you go out and tell people, you must call me this, you must respect me for this, whatever, they're really not. This is all just by rote and by duty. It's not because they care about you. But if you go and you serve people and they begin referring to you in a loving way, that's real. That's earned. We're all equal in status, but some are farther along in our spiritual walk, and so we let them lead us. It's not that we're leading as much as we're following them. And it's a scary thing. When I have young people, or young in Christ people, and they begin to follow me and ask me how to live a Christian life, it's a great pressure. My son-in-law, the day I married him to my daughter, said to me, Walter, you're my image of a Christian man. And I said, oh, thanks, Bryce, I need the pressure. But in a way, that's a wonderful,
hello,
respectful thing. Hi there.
Can we help you?
Yeah,
are you guys
Yep,
he
we go to 4:15.
3:45 to 4:15.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Sorry.
No problem. I was just over there. Got caught talking. Okay.
Yep.
All right. You guys, have a good one.
You too.
All right. See you. God bless.
You too.
We should be serving each other. What can I do to help you? What can I do to help Katisha? Well, Katisha's pretty much got her stuff together, but she doesn't have a lot of bucks, so I slip her something every now and again. That's just, you know, that's service for me, because I know that that's filling a need for her, and she will take care of herself other than that. Mm-hmm. Katisha builds us all up. We see her with her joy, in spite of all of the pressures and stuff. We see Sherry making hats for homeless people and stuff like that, and she's so sweet doing this.
And doggy blankets.
Yep. We must share what the Lord has given us. If we are given something by the Lord and we hoard it, we clutch it, then it will never go anywhere. That's what the parable of the talents, where the one guy had 10 talents, one guy had 5 talents, and one guy had 2 talents. 10 talents invested, it got 10 more. 5 talents invested, it got 5 more. 2 talents hid it because he was afraid he'd lose it. Clutched it. That's what Jesus was trying to show. If I give you something, use it for my work. Let it produce. Don't clutch it. And reward comes from Jesus, not on earth, both here and in heaven. Jesus will reward you for what you do. Don't worry about people. People may come and reward you for the things you do. But if they do, then you tell them it's Jesus. And that's what it says. Show Jesus to people by your actions. And when they come and say, oh, you're such a good person, you say, that's Jesus in me. And you need to look to Jesus to find goodness. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for our being here today. We ask you to bless us and guide us and help us not to be hypocritical, but to always serve you well in just the way you want to be served. Help us to read what it is that you want from us, and then to go and do it humbly and without asking for rewards. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for being here, guys.